The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away, but because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and beyond, bringing you the facts on all the important stories. I'm reporter Molly Ingram. Thank you for making WSHU your source for trusted news. Your contributions keep public radio strong. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut farmers complain about a potential major tax hike. Long Islanders react to Governor Hochul's State of the State address. It's been 3 years since Connecticut legalized recreational cannabis, a look at how things are going. Plus, New York disability advocates look for signs of progress. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Some Connecticut farmers complain they face a major tax hike from the state's latest tax assessment on farmland. They want Governor Lamont to pause the implementation of the new assessments. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Connecticut's Public Act 490 was enacted to preserve farmland by assessing farm, forest, open space, and maritime heritage land based on current use, rather than the higher fair market value. The values are adjusted by the state every 5 years. The latest adjustments were announced last month. Kim Grijalva owns a farm in North Stonington. She says the adjustments were unrealistic.
For my farm personally, our taxes would go up $16,000 a year. That's just on our farmland. That doesn't include our home.
Heather Summers is the Republican state senator from North Stonington.
That's part of the problem with this methodology and the assessment and why it's so flawed. That's why we want a moratorium today. That's why we want farmers at the table.
Summers and leaders of the Republican legislative minority want farmers involved on the committee that would provide input on assessment changes. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Some Republican lawmakers on Long Island say the key to making the state more affordable is to tamp down on spending. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more on the reaction to Governor Hochul's State of the State address.
Overall, Long Island's Republican lawmakers say much of the governor's affordability agenda, like free childcare, just aren't practical solutions. They say Democratic control of the legislature has led to higher taxes, and that's what's driving up costs. Assemblywoman Jody Giglio represents parts of eastern Long Island.
You know, the plan is to make New York State affordable. That means stop spending. We have to stop spending and use our resources better.
Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is the presumptive Republican nominee for governor. He denounced the speech, saying the state will have to raise taxes or take on debt to pay for Hochul's proposals. Budget details are expected in the coming weeks. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut's special education system may be one of the best in the country, but a new report calls for more attention to staffing shortages and delays in the complaints process. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
There are nearly 100,000 kids with disabilities in the state's K-12 schools. About one in every six students get special education services, and the federal government has given the state high marks for special education for years. But a report says there are issues, most notably how the state responds to complaints from parents or districts. Some said they faced long wait times and there's no way to appeal state decisions. The report recommends the state bring in a legal expert to help with complaints cases. Connecticut Education Chief Charlene Russell Tucker says the state will take action to address the concerns. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
As Albany gets back to work, disability advocates are watching closely to see whether this session delivers real change. That story is coming up.
Breaking Barriers is a 2022 album featuring Carlos Bastidas leading Ontario Pops Orchestra and concertos played by several outstanding young soloists. One of them is a Cuban violinist who's performed and competed all over the world and is now based in Canada. You'll hear her remarkable artistry on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
On Long Island, the Belmore Merrick Central High School District is being investigated by the U.S. Department of Education. It's one of 18 districts nationwide being looked into for allowing, quote, boys to compete in girls' sports. The department says it received complaints which allege the district violated Title IX, which prohibits sex-based discrimination in educational programs and activities that get federal funding. Governor Lamont has activated Connecticut's severe cold weather protocol for tonight. Temperatures are expected to drop into the low and mid-teens. Wind chills could range between 0 and 10 degrees. United Way and 211 will provide information about available shelters and warming centers. Suffolk County health officials say roughly 10,000 gallons of sewage was released into Peconic River. That's after a pipe within the network of a nearby sewage treatment plant broke. Officials have advised folks to avoid tidal waters east of Grangebell Park. It's 3 years this month that the state of Connecticut started legal sales of adult recreational use cannabis. But as WSHU's Brian Scott Smith reports, it's not been a success for everyone.
Despite a buoyant first 2 years of adult use and medical marijuana sales in Connecticut, official figures from the Department of Consumer Protection for 2025 saw a $3.5 million decline in total sales in the state. Although adult use remained high, it's the medical marijuana side that is suffering.
Because of the diminishment of our numbers of patients, cultivators have not been incentivized to continue to make the products they were making before.
That's Erin Gorman-Kirk, the state's official cannabis ombudsman, whose office looks after the interests of medical marijuana patients. And she says they are not happy with how things have changed since adult use became legal. Kirk says she sent out a survey to the state's remaining 37,000 registered medical marijuana patients recently, a figure that has dropped from a high of 60,000.
Most people are not happy. They're saying that, for example, you have a heart medication you're on for 10 years. All of a sudden, you are told, get this generic. It's going to work fine. They're finding not only is it not as efficacious and they're not achieving their best health outcomes, but they're spending more money to get additional medication to supplement so that they have what would have been that original formula.
Despite more cannabis dispensaries opening up in Connecticut, accessibility is not an issue. It's the price, which is twice that of neighboring Massachusetts, as well as the range and variety of cannabis products that are available. The state also saw two major companies leave Connecticut last year. The Botanist closed several stores, as well as Air Wellness, who both cited overregulation being the reason for their withdrawal. A spokesperson for the Department of Consumer Protection would not comment on the state of the industry in Connecticut, saying their role as regulator is to ensure a safe and equitable marketplace for businesses and consumers. Brian Scott Smith, WSHU News.
As the legislative session in New York State gets underway, people with disabilities are hoping for more progress on several policy initiatives, like more inclusive housing and higher wages for support professionals. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King has more.
Amid the bustle of the opening day of this year's legislative session at the Capitol, a group of advocates from New York ADAPT and Caring Majority held a small rally on the concourse of Empire State Plaza. In a wheelchair and wearing a headset microphone, Gina Barbara with Downstate New York ADAPT led the group off.
And we must continue to fight the fight.
Our homes, not nursing homes. Our homes!
Barbara says housing is among their top priorities.
Governor Hochul has made it blatantly clear since last State of the State that she was going to be pushing for affordable housing. However, affordable housing not accessible is of no help to the disability community.
Advocates also have concerns about changes to the Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program, or CDPAP, which lets patients hire their own personal assistants. Last year, the state changed the system from hundreds of nonprofits and companies operating the program to having one single statewide operator, Public Partnerships LLC. But advocates say there are still issues with the transition. Angela Harmer of Rensselaer County was also at the rally. She says she relies on the program.
I can hire and fire my own people. I train them. I teach them how to help me. I do everything. I'm in control.
Assemblymember Angelo Santa Barbara of Schenectady County chairs the Assembly's Committee on People with Disabilities. He says some lawmakers are already seeking changes.
And I've heard from advocates, I've heard from families, I've heard about real problems of the transition. We need to make sure we're doing what we need to do to make sure that any transition doesn't disrupt services.
Santa Barbara says he's also supportive of advocates' push for a 2.7% increase in state funding for the direct services support system.
The most important thing we can do is invest in our direct care system.
Michael C. Ryder is president and CEO of the New York Alliance for Inclusion and Innovation. He says the direct care sector has only recently started to reduce turnover among staff.
A significant increase in resources a couple of years ago now has made a significant improvement in what was a widely unsustainable situation. It has made a significant improvement in that, and we need to make sure that we don't lose any more ground with regard to the system in which we're operating.
But C. Ryder says it's more than just money. His group is seeking policy solutions on housing that would prioritize essential workers like home health aides.
Ensuring that they can access stable, affordable homes near their workplaces, strengthening both the workforce and the communities that they serve in.
Other organizations are seeking ways to continue helping connect people with disabilities to jobs.
State individuals with disabilities are unemployed at a rate of 64%. So there's still a ton of work to be done.
Maureen O'Brien is president of New York State Industries for the Disabled, or NYSID. She says the organization hopes to work with lawmakers to streamline regulations and help them serve more people.
We need to work really closely with the state to grow what NYSID does and to help the social enterprises we work with secure more business and create more jobs.
Back at the rally, the advocates say they are no strangers to the Capitol, and they will ensure their voices will be heard during this election year.
Enough stalling. People's lives are on the line. We're not political pawns here. We're regular people.
Governor Kathy Hochul is set to present her executive budget proposal on January 20th. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or take us with you on the go with the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, like more on the music and the latest news, join us over on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. We'll see you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.